Hi and welcome to The Practice Gap, the podcast for closing the gap between the practice you have and the one that you want. I'm Elizabeth, a chiropractor, a business owner, coach and entrepreneur on a mission to help you move from frustration and overwhelm to clarity, focus and joy in practice. Hi, Hilde Tavares or Sjol Tavares. From Norway, from Bryne on the west coast of Norway. I am so happy to have you in the studio. Welcome.
Thank you.
Why don't you start with telling the audience a little bit about yourself?
Okay. So I am also a chiropractor. Have been in practice for 20 years plus. I went to school in US, studied at Palmer College of Chiropractic. And yeah, when I came back to Norway, I did my internship and then I started up a chiropractic practice. I'm also married to a chiropractor and I live in Bryne. Still married, three kids, still working part-time in the clinic. And then also I have a sidekick.
Sidekick.
Yeah.
Well, what is your little sidekick?
My sidekick. Okay. Well, you might have heard about Bibi Hug Me.
I have definitely heard about Bibi Hug Me. Bibi Hug Me is one of my and Hilda's favorite topics. One of them, I think.
Yeah, we have many.
We have many. Why don't you start telling the audience about a little bit about what Bibi Hug Me is?
Okay, so should we do it from the start or
why don't you just...
Well, I can say currently Bibi Hug Me is one of the leading global brands in the pregnancy pillows. We make smart functional products for pregnant women and newborn moms. And it's all based on, you know, the tagline, a good pregnancy and a good start at life, which is a carryover from our practice, our history with Becken and Bahn and our chiropractic work.
Mm-hmm. We are actually sitting in the same, actually, underneath the room that we first, when we first drooled Bibi Hug Me. That was just above us here.
Yeah.
So it's quite amazing.
Do you know it's 10 years ago?
I think it's actually 11.
Yeah, 11.
11 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. 2000 and...
2000 something. It's at
11.
Least 11. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we started having some fun ideas that turned out to be a huge thing. Why don't you talk about a little bit about our journey from your perspective?
I will. But when I think back, and I want to ask you that question, because, you know, it's a lot of things happen. And I think at that moment when we started, we had no clue
Absolutely.
We were journeying into. So would you do, if had you known... Would you have done it?
No, not well. Now I would, of course. Yeah. And now, 11 years older, later. But in the start, I would never, ever have started with that project if I had known how much time, how much money we had to invest, and how tough it would be. I don't think none of us would have started. Luckily, we were super naive. We were pushed and jumped, and a lot of people believed in our ideas, which made us more than courage to have the three of us having more courage than anyone had been able to do by themselves.
Yeah, and I think that to be an entrepreneur, you have to be a little bit of naive, but very also idealistic, and have most importantly, you have to be very passionate about your project. Yeah. But going back, it was me and you and Ann-Christine. We had a pippy moment when someone, because we're talking about how it was a challenge to have pregnant women in the clinic and positioning them on the bench, on the stomach and on the back, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about how useful it'd be to have a pillow in the clinic. At that time, on the second floor, where we're sitting right now, was an industrial design agency. They got involved and asked us, why don't you just make this pillow? Because we were complaining there's no pillow on the market that's functional, that solves the problems that the pregnant women are struggling with in the clinic or at home. And so they challenged us. And that's, I think, when we had our pippy moment and we're like, oh, well, we've never done that before, but sure, why not? And from there, you know, we started our journey.
Mm. And there's a lot of us. Atle Torstensson, who was on the podcast a few episodes ago, he talks about a lot about luck.
Mm.
But luck is also about taking the opportunities that are there.
Mm.
I think we were lucky because my clinic was underneath Co-Otte Industrial Designs.
Mm.
And I think we were just lucky that we had a talk with these people, because they pushed us and they helped us to get started, or else it might never have happened.
Mm, mm. I think that we were very, very clear on what we wanted this product to do. And this product solves a real problem with the customers, as you would say. So I think that we were very secure in that if we do this in a good way, it's going to be a great product that a lot of people would want. But like you said, we had no clue about the whole innovation process, the whole business setup part. So that's where they came in and gave us support. And I think, I don't know if you call it luck, I think it's something aligned and made this happen, because it's a contribution for to better the world, at least for pregnant women and new families.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when we were sitting in the office above our head now, we did a Google search 11 years ago, and there were actually just two pillows for pregnant people on the market. So it was definitely what you call
a hole in the market
or blue ocean. Mm. And now when you Google it, it's so many options.
Yeah. And I think that we were ready, because we had already done, sort of broken out of the mold in terms of how I would say people were running chiropractic in Norway. You were pretty much the first to start a niche clinic targeting a very specific target group. So we had already started that process of pioneering something, diving into something unknown, not knowing is this going to work or not. So, I mean, the thought wasn't that strange to us. It's still a lot of work goes into it. And I don't remember, there's a lot of details that I don't remember. How about you?
Well, I do remember when I found some pictures from us playing with the with the early prototypes, and sometimes I still get some patients coming in. Yeah, I did borrow this pillow that all my friends were like, they were moving around Oslo and they were like in line for this one of the prototypes.
Yeah, yeah.
And you totally forget, but there are definitely stories I suddenly remember, and it's like, wow, it feels like forever ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there was all these different phases. It was like the beginning phase, and now there's this super professional phase.
Yeah.
So it's been a really long journey and a lot of learning.
It took us 2 years from the idea until we had a prototype ready. And I don't know if you remember, but we were financing this ourselves. We were working full-time
in the
clinic.
That's
the thing
I do remember. financing.
Yeah, we had family. So, you know, we had meetings here. I don't know if it was every other month. We came to Oslo, and Christine and I. And then we had a meeting with Kuota, did an upgrade of some version of the prototype, and then had to go back and work to earn some more money to put into this project. And we did that for 2 years until we had a final product that was ready to launch. And I think one of the smartest things we did was to do what you just mentioned, to have the prototype circulate with our patients and get real feedback. Because it doesn't matter if you have a good idea, if it doesn't solve a real problem, or it's not something that the customers want to buy into.
Mm. And we were talking about it with our patients, and they tried stuff out, and we had physiotherapists who tried it, and we got so much input that just made it all the more special.
Yeah.
So you are so right. I do remember at one point we were sitting, we had a phone meeting with Ann-Christine and you and me, and we had a huge bill coming in, and I was like, okay, this is it. What are we doing here? It's like, do we still believe in this stuff? Because I was like, you saw all this money coming out, and just like, is this ever going to happen? And I just remember us sitting there, and I'm like, I'm done. It's like, we can't do this anymore. And I think it was Ann-Christine is just like, this product is so good. It's like, we just have to move through this last barrier to just get it. We are so close. We have to keep moving.
Mm.
And that was like one of those moments, I think, that was the last moment I remember having doubts. After that, it was just like, then things really started to happen, and then you get feedback on the road, and you suddenly you get past the last barrier.
Yeah, and then, you know, when we did that crowdfunding, which was another way of getting verification that customers wanted this, and after that we were fully committed.
Yeah. And that was actually quite a fun story too, because crowdfunding, we were on the first crowdfunding platform in Norway. Of course, again, it by chance or luck or faith, whatever, we had a patient in this clinic, and she was she said, I'm starting a crowdfunding platform for women
who have a mom's means business.
Yes. Yeah. And she had never even seen the product, but she had just heard about the enthusiasm when we talked about it. She's like, you need to be on that. You need to be the first product. And she believed in the product without even seeing it, because she heard what she it was sold as the problem they were solving, and she had so many issues when she was pregnant herself. So that was a quite fun story.
Yeah. And also, I think it was a great opportunity, but it was slightly more painful than what I expected, because, you know, we had to target friends, fools, and family. And and but yeah, it was great. And then I remember the day when we had our we had a board meeting and we had a final product. We had the production set up, and we finally sort of took. I think that was a step into the next phase when we hired a CEO.
Yeah,
which was the best decision we made, and she did a great job for us in the beginning. So from there on in, it took on a different life. And
from the ID to product, so like, okay, so we got through all the terrible and fun phases. From the CEO and out, if you want to do like 3 minute short short story about how it grew from being just a product that you like the first product to actually being sold in how many, is it 55 countries now or how
no,
many?
No, it's sold in 80 plus.
Oh, 80 plus. Oh my gosh. It's moving fast. Yeah. It's too much.
yeah. No, we did a very thorough job in terms of our brand. We never set out to think that we were going to build an international brand. For us, this was just going to be something that we could share among our fellow chiropractors and other clinicians that were working with pregnant women. And then luckily, throughout the process, someone told us, like, why don't you go international? And it would be stupid not to, because the issues that pregnant women are experiencing, it doesn't matter if you live in the US or in the UK or in Norway or in Australia, you go through the same process and you have the same challenges. So at that point, we're like, yeah, let's make it into a brand. And we did a very good job. So when we didn't just have the product ready to launch, we had a whole brand with a whole concept nailed down to the T's. And this was something that was very aligned with everything else that we'd done previously throughout chiropractic. Where I think that I wasn't even nervous. I don't know about you.
No, at that point, it was like, it was the first few years that was the nervous. Tough. And then it's just like, you kind of just let go, and you get competent people, and you just let go and make people work what they know.
Yeah. So long story short, we still continue to work 100% in clinic because we had to make money to fund this project.
Making products is not free.
No. So we hired a CEO, and literally she started knocking on doors and contacting other people in our professional network, not just chiropractors, but midwives and lactation consultants, physios and whatever, and offering the product into their clinic. That's really how we have grown. We have sort of utilized our professional network and grown that to establish a credibility in the market. If I'm collaborating with another chiropractor in another part of the country, in a different country, they're seeing X amount of pregnant women and new moms a day, right? So this is just how we've grown it. We've sort of went into the professional market, which is great because they really understand our product and they really understand the problems that it's solving. And from there on, we started knocking on retailer doors. We got a lot of no's in the beginning because we're unheard of as a brand, just a tiny little Norwegian brand. What happened was that customers actually started coming into the to the retailer store and saying, I want to buy a Baby Hug Me. I don't know if it was like it took a year or a year and a half. It took a while. In the beginning, they weren't interested in, because we're sort of a disruptor in the pregnancy pillow category too. This is a pillow that's unlike any of the other pillows that was on the market. Once the customers started coming into the store asking for a product, they called us back and said, hey, we want to sell your product. I think that our philosophy was also, we don't want to force anything. We don't want to work with anyone who's not really passionate about working with us and our product. We weren't interested in just selling the pillow everywhere anyways. And I think that has served us very well. Mm-hmm. So that's how we've grown. And then we started in Scandinavia. I think in 2018, we strategically entered into UK through Amazon UK. And then we're just like strategically targeting different markets. So right now, we're present through online stores in over 80 markets. We're selling to over 80 markets. But in terms of retailer or B2B, business to business, it's mainly Scandinavia, UK, and US.
It still blows me away.
Yeah. Ooh, and I have to tell you, we've gone from one employee to, I think there's about 14 full-time employees.
And they're all situated here
in Oslo. Oslo is our main office. Yes. I've traveled back and forth a lot.
Could you talk a little bit about to have a brand philosophy? What is a brand philosophy to you?
It makes more sense to start off like, what is the purpose of having a brand? You have to have a brand to be visible in the market. So, and to be able to reach your customer, they have to know where to find you and what you are. If you're not clear on that, you're clear on your brand messaging, they're not going to find you because it's a jungle out there in terms of getting attention and marketing as well. But a brand, it's basically creating your mission and your vision, taking it from there sort of. And behind that, you have to have a philosophy and a passion and like I said, a problem that you want to solve. That preferably makes the world better.
That should be everybody's philosophy at some point. Mm.
But it's sort of your DNA.
For all of those practitioners who are out there, they're in the clinic and they're just like, wow, they get this light bulb moment from a missing product. Where should they start to do something with their ID?
Mm. Call us.
And we'll help you.
There's lots of professional people that you can collaborate with. There's Innovation Norway, and there's different startup labs, incubators. There's some, every major city has a city incubator, and there's also private companies helping you with that. So that's one way to go. I think it's very wise to actually start off by having some conversations with people that have done that journey before to get some information of what it actually is going to take, because then you need, and also to get verification.
When some people have come up to me during the years, they have asked, I have an ID. However, they don't want to share the ID. They don't want to tell about the product they're thinking about because it's like this, I think it's this fear that somebody else is going to take that idea and bring it to life. Mm. Do you have any thoughts about that part? Should they share or should you keep it by yourself? Like, at what point should you start sharing your ID?
Yeah, I agree that you should be a little bit selective on who you talk to. But at the same time, you also need to know if this is something to move forward with. And I think that if it's truly a great idea, and it authentically comes from you, no one else, even if you do say what it is, you don't have to say everything, but you have to be able to explain what it is, what problem it's going to solve. And so you can say a lot about that without getting into the specific details, but I wouldn't be worried about that.
And also it's like when it's your idea or your project, it's your idea, it's your passion. It's like when somebody talks, like if I talk pregnancy people to pillow to someone else, it's not their passion. They're not going to go through all the pain and work to make this product that might sell, because just to sell it, that is not enough. You have to have a passion behind it, why you're doing it. Yeah. It has to be a bigger...
And you can have the world's greatest idea and it's worth nothing unless you can execute on it. Yeah. But I was just thinking to the question you asked, what they can do to protect themselves. There's something called an NDA that they can have it printed out. It's Innovation Norway and probably other innovation things they have. You can find it online for free. It's a small letter. It's a non-disclosure agreement. And so whenever you're talking to anyone, if you want confidentiality around that, you can just ask them to sign that.
So if you have an idea, go to your printer, print out that NDA and have it in your purse or your briefcase and then just...
But I think you have to come to terms with that you're not going to be able to do it alone. You have to involve other people at some point. You just have to involve the right people.
And there's a lot of professionals out there who help people with ideas and where to start and have to do it.
And not very many people are going to follow through on it anyways. I mean, I don't know how many... There's not very many people that follow through on an entrepreneurial idea and very few women even. Mm-hmm. I think there's like 10% of all entrepreneurs that succeed, and there's 2 of those 10 are women.
Wow, that's...
That's not many.
That is...
So even if people...
Do you have any reflection on why that is?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I actually looked into that, and there are some data on that, and there is a difference between men and women. And I think that's, it's biological. Men have, they're less, women are less risk of takers. Mm. Men, that's a testosterone thing, right? So especially young men are much more willing to take high risks. So there's a biological difference there. And I think also there's many things, but the average... Interestingly, the average female founder is 40 years old, has a part, works on the side, so this would be a part-time project, and it's typically a company that doesn't grow very necessarily very fast, but the research also says that with a female founder has a higher success rate than, so there's more companies started by young males that fail than women.
Yeah, and I think so there's also bankruptcy, like very few female and
yeah, because it has to do with the level of risk. Yeah. So if you want to make money fast, go with a high risk, go with a male entrepreneur. But if you want to invest in something over time, and also women do more like social entrepreneurship than men do. So there's differences for sure. And I think that it's hard to, especially if you have a family as a woman, it's very, because we have that nurture gene. And even through the process, at no point was I willing to take risks that would maybe fall back on my family.
You wouldn't put your house.
No, I wouldn't put my house up and things like that. Yeah. So there's also a positive thing in not growing too fast. That's been good to us because you learn as you go along. You test something, you get verification, you either go forward with it or you pivot. It's necessary because the world's changing so fast, especially the last few years with the landscape and the digitalization and whatever. So for us, it's necessary. If you're thinking long term, which, you know, we said we want to be about top global or top leading pregnancy brands in the world. That's a huge ambition, right?
Yep.
So you have to build.
It's well, a little crazy ambition, if you ask me now.
I do
love it though.
So there's a difference. And I think some of it is biological and other is circumstantial.
To wrap up a little bit, and I really have you back for the next podcast as well. I'm super excited about that. To wrap up a little bit, if you have a product you're thinking about be something to bring to life, talk with us or talk with someone who knows something about how to bring a product live. And you need to have a big why. How is this this product going to help people? And you have to have amount of courage and believe in yourself.
Stamina.
Stay in there and get through the barriers and partner up with people. And probably not people who are different skills than you, so you can move forward through the tough times. And just remember, things take a lot of time. So.
Things take way more time than you think.
way more time.
Yeah. Hey, do you remember, just a funny thing, do you remember in the beginning when we were working with different, before we could hire anyone, we had to buy external services. Do you remember when we said, we don't want to work with anyone who isn't smarter than us? I think that was a very good thing.
That's always... Or as a friend of mine says, if you're the smartest person in the room, it's time to leave.
Exactly.
So always look for smarter than people.
Yeah. And you should never be afraid to ask questions. I've asked so many questions and I'm over that whole thing. You know, if I ask this, is anyone going to think I'm stupid? I mean, that's how you learn. If the people that you're asking questions to, if they make you feel bad about it, then it's time to leave.
And that to have a curiosity, a real curiosity for people who actually make something big. People love to talk about what they did to succeed. And people who are successful, they want other people to be successful. So it's really a fun arena to be in. It's everybody kind of wishes you well.
It's been very expanding in so many ways.
Well, thank you, Hilda. It's wonderful to talk you with you about our joint
adventure
Bibi Hug Me, and let's see you in the next podcast.
Thank you. Very nice to be here.